look at faces.
Our theme today for the program is...
It's premature.
You know, I've had some big changes emotionally in the past few months that have helped me a lot to focus on, you know, those goals, those things that drive me.
The whole idea here is to have a better communication ability with our listeners and also have our listeners be able to get in touch with WPKN.
Yeah, I think in a way I just have this image of sort of like the radio station sort of gaining its content through the community. That is to say, the community, as we develop the strip, which I think is a really, really great idea.
Well, we have about 40 pieces. I'm a painter and printmaker myself, and I have to look back up for a tiny bit and let you know.
Personally, I had three small sons who were school-aged at that time.
Boy, so you're kind of living proof of the idea that you can generate emotions.
I'm learning. I'm in no way finished.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's listening. You know, if you have a topic, if you have some suggestions for guest speakers.
They can get a lot of information, much more than I've given.
I think student audiences and audiences of young people always make...
Yeah, you guys sound good. I think it's a good idea to actually open up the air to the listeners so that they can respond and make it more of a two-way thing.
And I want to thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the GM Report to the listeners for the month of July. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, your host and the general manager of this incredible nonprofit community radio station. And I was just talking off mic, and someone asked, well, how long have I been the general manager? And I was happy to say that I'm in my fifth year here at WPKN, and it's been a fantastic ride. It's a great challenge, and I'm really proud to be connected with such a fine organization with a history that goes back 55 years now. So we have a very full show today. We have a chance to talk a little bit about WPKN-related stuff, but really we like to open up our studios and bring in members of the community, some nonprofits, and also people that are just involved in doing some great community activities. So let me just go through and tell you who our guests are going to be today. We're going to get an update on the Black Rock Farmers Market. We've got a couple of folks in here, Karen Lito, who's a co-founder of the Black Rock Farmers Market, and also Reverend Sarah Smith from the United Congregational Church and its nonprofit Nourish Bridgeport that is taking over some of the operational activities this summer. We're also going to hear a pre-recorded segment with Roz Branch, who's the executive director of the reformed Bridgeport Arts and Cultural Council, and he's going to talk a little bit about the Downtown Thursdays free concert series that starts tonight. McLevy Green, and also right now the farmers market is underway as well. So he's got a lot of things on his plate for today, and we talked yesterday. Then we're going to invite in Suzanne Catchmar and Ricky Mestre, who they have planned the Bridgeport Pride Celebration 2018 and the same-sex art party and variety show, and they are both going to be here live in the studio. We're going to end with the Bridgeport Carib Youth Leaders with Frank Boris, who's the board chair, and Alberto, one of their youth leaders. And I think Bob Halstead is also going to try to come in, a community activist, to talk about a potential teardown of the West End Branch Library in Bridgeport that seems like the owners have set some equipment up for the wrecking ball. So he's going to talk a little bit about that. So full show, and we're going to start off with just a couple of items having to do with WPKN. Many of you, at least 5,000 of you, have received our summer appeal letter, and we hope that you might be able to respond to that with some type of a donation that you're comfortable with. We've closed our fiscal year, but we are trying to ask for many of you to consider becoming a sustaining supporter of WPKN, where you can make monthly donations on a regular basis to WPKN, and that really helps with our sustainability. Also, we're trying to get a head start on the renovation of the studio that I'm in right now, our FM studio, which is kind of looks a little bit like circa 1975, and That's could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. It's our thing right now, but hopefully we can get some new equipment. We need a new board to broadcast with, and so that is out there to 5,000 of you. We've had a lot of events that we've been at. We were at the NICE Festival in Norwalk with a WPKN tent, and a shout-out to our very own Janet Evelyn, who's our underwriting manager, who actually had a big hand in the production of that event last weekend. We were at the Tibet Festival in Goshen, Connecticut with our tent, and this weekend at the Great South Bay Music Festival in Patchogue. Kevin Ross, our Long Island coordinator, will be out there with some of our Long Island programmers, Kevin Gallagher, maybe Howard Thompson, and a few others. And also, I wanted to mention that coming up on the, let me get the exact date here, it is Wednesday, July 25th. It's volume 12 of our WPKN Underground series at the Acoustic. And that is really a fantastic place for some new bands, young bands on the way up. Rayo Pop Golden, Brian S. Gore, Getaway Day, and Barbara will be playing that benefit for WPKN. And that is produced by our programmer, Sam Hopkins and Vinny. So that's a look at some things here at WPKN. Let me now introduce Karen Lito, our co-founder of the Black Rock Farmers Market, and also Reverend Sarah Smith, who is at the United Congregational Church, and they have a nonprofit called Nourish Bridgeport Inc. that has made life a little easier for Karen this summer, which is I think probably a good thing. But congratulations to Karen as a co-founder of the Black Rock Farmers Market, held right next to St. Anne's Church. It's this is your fifth year.
Is our fifth year.
Yeah.
Same as you.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. You know, that's there was a few hiccups in the beginning of the summer as far as where it was going to be held, and I guess we'll get an update on that. But I when there were some issues about you know, where it might be and how it was going to be set up this summer, all I can say is that you know, it's been one of the best things in Bridgeport to come along for many years.
Thank
you. Maybe a quick update. What's how have the original members, you and Michelle, how are you now working with Sarah's nonprofit, Nourish Bridgeport?
Well, what I think is great is that we've evolved over the 5 years. You know, nothing's ever perfect, but we've certainly evolved to a better place where many hands make light work, and Nourish Bridgeport is certainly providing that kind of foundation for us, where there's more people involved, and it definitely takes a huge load off of Michelle and I.
Well, back in January, I'd heard that they were going to let it go. They were tired. They had done all this work, and it's magical.
It really is.
And I just was like, this cannot stop. It's an economic engine for entrepreneurs in Bridgeport. It's a center of commerce. It's a community builder. I mean, they have 1,000 people a week. So I settled up next to Michelle Margot, the other founder, and I didn't know Karen then. Now I know her. And she's the artistic genius. And I said, can we partner with you so this makes it? We need this. Our community needs this. So my church, United Congregational Church, invested $10,000, because one of the things is you need startup money. Mm-hmm. And then we invested a director, and then we invested a bookkeeper and some other things to take care of some of the operational back office, the things that are not fun to do.
Yeah, I think what people don't realize is that when the market got larger and larger, it just got so much for the two of us. It really just was too large for two people to manage, and it does need a community of people behind it.
So what we gave is just a kind of the organizational structure, the skeleton. They already had the flesh of it. They already had the program of it. And so all we did was kind of help shore that up. And it's been a great partnership between United Congregational Church and our not-for-profit Nourish and the Black Rock Farmers Market people. And we are back at St. Anne's. We're pleased to be there. We got all our permits. Everything's right. And the city helped, and the representatives representative helped, Steve Stavstrom, the community helped, and then we did all the right things. Yes. And so we were very intent on making sure that that was done properly.
Well, bravo. I'm glad you guys found each other. And it's really something I look forward to every Saturday morning. And so do like 1,000 other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we've got artisans. We have food. We have things you can eat right there, which I love, of course. And then you've got prepared things so you don't have to cook later. And then, of course, you've got the vegetables and the whole farmer part. And it's brilliant.
It's a real great mixture of vendors, right? Mm-hmm. And you can there's multiple food trucks, and then there's fresh produce.
We've branched out this year to have more prepared foods. So we have three local farmers. We have Fort Hill Farm, Laurel Glen Farm, and Seeding Knowledge. We have a cheese vendor, bread vendor, olive oil.
And don't forget the honey, pies. Park I love
City,
the pies.
Park City honey. We have Source Coffee House brews our coffee every morning.
We got a pizza maker. We've got the
that's
other
new,
things.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that is
that's
new.
That's been a hit. And then we've got some that you can take and have for supper. Right. And then we've got the artisans that come and bring. You know, we give them a chance to show their work, and there's certain values that we have kept. Karen and Michelle have very high values, and we tried to honor them and keep them. And then we've started kind of a kids' corner, so we had like African drumming, and we have hula hoops, and then we have more some educational things. So we want to make sure the kids have a wonderful time there too. And it's just been wonderful. Yeah. I love
it. So I take some of the yoga classes at times.
That's right.
You know,
we
and
have yoga every morning.
Live music. You know,
we have live music. El Sarah's there this weekend. We also have cooking demonstrations by Raquel Pablo Rivera, who is a chef that works with the Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative.
Pinch of Salt.
Who's cooking on site. She'll make your omelets, and she takes time out to do a recipe for us using the farmer's produce. So it kind of gives you an idea of what to do with things maybe you wouldn't have an idea of a recipe.
And things get underway, is it 9 o'clock, right? 9 till 1?
9 to 1.
And there's plenty of shade, and there's
lots of trees.
Nice kind of seating area, picnic tables, and there's a fire pit that's shaded. And, you know, it's really just a wonderful spot. It's right off of Fairfield Avenue and Brewster, right next to St. Anne's Church.
Yes,
if you look to the skyline, you'll see there's one of the tallest buildings you're going to see in Black Rock. So, well, congratulations. I also just wanted to mention Sarah that did you want to make any comments about some of the other
Bridgeport
work
is,
you do?
We just changed our name. We used to be the Norma Freeman Urban Outreach Initiative, and now we're Nourish Bridgeport, and we pull out the hour of Nourish and the Bridgeport because my church helped start this town in 1695. And we also have a shelter in the winter, and we have a food pantry every week, and we have a soup kitchen community supper every week, and we have clothes, and we do this and we do that. We have English as a second language for immigrants and refugees, and so we do a whole lot of stuff on a really small budget, so we're sort of magical like that. But this branching out into this enterprise has been so good for us, and we have volunteers that come. We call them the Red Shirt Brigade.
Yeah.
And it just brings in more and more people to this wonderful community endeavor. I mean, the Black Rock Farmers Market is a business, no doubt about it. But it brings so much more. And, you know, we need all the connection we can get today. Mm-hmm. And that on that field, everybody connects. And it's just joy.
Yeah.
And we're really, really proud to be a part of it. And I love working with Michelle and Karen.
Well,
and our director is Heidi Vanderwaal. We shouldn't forget her, because she does a lot of the legwork.
Yeah. Good. Well, I wanted to thank Karen Lito, co-founder of the Black Rock Farmers Market, who's still there pretty much every time I've been there.
I'm still there. You can't keep me away.
But just not doing quite as much of the operational
stuff. Well, we're behind the scenes sort of doing that.
Well, they've got us as far as this is how this works best, and this is how this works best, because you know we didn't know, and so we've all had a real learning, and so I thought together it's really working. We need to learn to work together.
Definitely.
We got enough silos in Bridgeport.
And also wanted to thank Reverend Sarah Smith from the United Congregational Church and Nourish Bridgeport, Inc. Thanks for coming in, probably see you on Saturday.
See you Saturday.
Better. Five more years to you, Steve.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll take a quick music break, and we'll be back with Roz Branch. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome Roz Branch into the WPKN studios.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to see you again, and I've had you up before here at WPKN. I know you've also been on some other programmers' shows, and you are the busiest man in Bridgeport, I think, and it's a lot of really great cultural events happening. I know you're wearing multiple hats, so maybe we'll start with the Downtown Thursdays.
Yes.
The concert series, which
are
back again.
Yes, yeah. They're back in the kickoff tonight.
And you have had a hands-on approach to it. You've been booking these bands, correct?
Yes, for the last 3 years now.
Good. And so kicking off, we've got Afrobeat Music Night tonight. It's going to be a pretty exciting lineup. Talk a little bit about that, and then maybe we'll work through the rest of the summer Downtown Thursday concerts.
Absolutely. So we have opening night tonight. We have Agapa Chocolate, which is a salsa merengue band. It's a 10-piece. Phenomenal band. Some other members from Bridgeport as well as New Haven. And then closing out the show tonight, we have a phenomenal reggae band, Ayambasa, which has a few surprise features tonight, featuring Denray Morgan, which is a phenomenal classic reggae artist as well, too. Anita Antoinette, which was a finalist on The Voice. And then we have Nigerian Afrobeat artist and Afropop artist Lamborghini joining the show. So there's going to be a lot of amazing energy.
Yeah, that's remarkable. That's a great kickoff. I know Lamborghini was in the studios here with Ebong Udoma, who one of our programmers does a African music show every Wednesday morning, and he was fantastic. So I can't believe all those folks are going to be on one stage tonight. That's a great way to kick things off.
Particularly excited about that.
So that's going to be the Downtown Thursdays at McLeavy Green, which I guess is all set up now with stage and sound equipment and that type
of thing. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. There'll be farmers. You know, the farmers market is wrapping up now as well, too. There's food trucks will be available. Mobile pub will be satisfying all your adult beverage needs for the evening, too. So it's going to be a lot of good energy out there in the green tonight.
And in terms of concept, how did you come up with the themes of each of the Downtown Thursdays? Not that there's necessarily a theme, but maybe just walk us through some of the different events, and I think listeners will be very impressed with how multicultural this whole summer is going to be.
Yeah, so there was a method to the madness here. So typically we've gone and done genres for each particular night to make it a little easier. But we've decided to change that up a bit because we want to do some cross-pollination with other crowds as well. So we're mixing up, salsa with reggae. We're mixing up R&B with jazz. And then we're mixing in a bit of Latin rock with a bit of traditional Latin jazz and whatnot. So I'll go through the nights really quick. July 19th, we have the Ras Omari Experience, which is kind of a psychedelic gospel R&B. Hip-hop-y kind of sound. And then we have On the Serious Side, which is a Tower Power tribute band, which my dad's a huge fan of. July 26th, we have Orchestra Finke, which is a traditional Latin jazz salsa band. And rounding out the end of that night, we have Sacred Fire, which is a Santana tribute band. August 22nd, we have The Tell, which does kind of a electropop sound, the color fields.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Tim Walsh's
band, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
And he's been very helpful to our movie series, and also when we just had a big event there for Make Music Bridgeport. He's great.
Yeah, not only being a great guy, but he's a tremendous asset to a lot of the stuff that happens downtown as
well. Yeah, he is.
So then following that, with that, we have Color Fields, which is also fielded by a local Bridgeport resident and musician as well, John Torres.
Yep, sure.
And then ending that show with them is Fat Astronaut out of New Haven, which is a phenomenal reggae, R&B, hip-hop, soul, alien band that I think is going to be a lot of really, really, really entertaining on that stage. And August 9th, we have Jelani Sai, which is a neo-soul band as well. And then wrapping up that is La Mix, which is a local cover band covering R&B soul from the 70s, 80s, 90s, featuring Job Sencheck. And then August 16th, we have Jake Kulak in the Lowdown. And then we have the Greg Sherrod Band, which is going to be a phenomenal blues, soul, funk show that's going to be really, really, I think, lip smacking. And then finally, our last show is August 23rd, which is the fourth annual Classic Hip Hop and R&B series, which will be bringing in Nice and Smooth, which is Greg Nice, and CL Smooth. It'll be phenomenal. Show for that evening, and that's actually going to take place at Seaside Park this year.
Okay,
instead of at the Green, because we've outgrown our traditional means of concert.
Yeah, well, the thing about McLeavy Green is it's intimate, and it's obviously it's a wonderful place to see the bands. You can get up really tight and close. For people that are interested in coming down on Thursday, well, coming down tonight, obviously, but also any other Thursday, the concerts run from like around 5:30.
Yeah, about 5:30, you can come on down. They run until 9 p.m.
Until dark. Okay.
Yeah.
And
uh-oh. Hotlines are blowing up. They want to know what's going on with the concerts.
Let's go back. So for listeners that are interested in coming down tonight or Thursdays during the rest of the summer, what time do things get underway at McLeavy?
About 5:30.
Okay.
Kick off, and then they wrap about 9 o'clock.
And do people bring chairs?
Yeah, you can bring chairs. You can bring blankets kind of you can bring a little tent if you want or whatnot. Bring a little picnic basket as well, but we'll have plenty of food out
there with our food trucks and
the bar cart as well.
Good.
You can find out more about the bands over on downtownthursdays.com as well too, as well as infobridgeport.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information on infobridgeport.com. Just go to music and you'll get all the details. It's really going to be a very full summer. Now, multiple hats I mentioned before when we're talking to Roz Branch here in the studio. Roz also is involved in the Bridgeport Arts and Cultural Council, which has been reformed after a couple years of hiatus. And this is, a very promising sign that the cultural community, the artists community, has coalesced more than ever in Bridgeport, and so much so that now it's time that it's been put back together. So talk a little bit about some of the things that you're working on with the BACC.
Yeah, so we're looking to just reestablish the Bridgeport Arts and Cultural Council as part of the makeup, the tourism, some of the necessary components that makes Bridgeport. So we're going for a more community-based, communal-based, social-based, as well as visually imposing, so to speak, onto the makeup, the scene, and how our visitors see Bridgeport and how residents see Bridgeport, how they interact with that. So some of those things that we're doing is a couple social events that we're having periodically throughout the year that offer opportunities for residents or supporters of arts to come together, which is our event called Celebrate Bridgeport, which travels around the different locations throughout the city that features food, music, culture, arts. That's basically our four pillars of what we're focusing on with that as well. So,
well, those parties have already become achieved a legendary status already. I've missed them all. You had the one at the Boathouse, right? At the 305 Knowlton.
Yep.
And I got nothing but amazing feedback on that event. Is there something coming up soon that is going to be part of that series?
I think September we're actually going to re-kick that series off again. With all the stuff we have going on between July and August right now, it'd be crazy to try and
wait until September then. But the other thing that you're involved with besides the Downtown Thursdays and also the BACC, and by the way, you're the executive director now, is that
right?
I understand. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And all the best of luck, and certainly anything we can do at PKN to help you, you know where to find us, and we'll be more than happy to do that.
I appreciate that.
The other event that you're involved with is one of the downtown farmers markets. There are multiple markets. You know, we've been talking with the folks from the Black Rock Farmers Market, and there's one obviously that is going on. You know, as we speak right now, it's going on at McLeavy Green. That's the Downtown Farmers Market.
Yes.
But you're involved with one on the East End, correct?
Yes, we are. We recently took that over last summer. The previous year, unfortunately, you know, with some of the transitioning the city was going through, wasn't able to continue to staff that market further. So we ended up picking it up, just knowing that the East End has been such a food desert for so long, and being able to have a presence still in the neighborhood for access to fresh produce was really important to us. So we're there trying to continue to establish that, and then
good for you. Yeah. What day of the week is that going to be?
That's going to be on Saturdays between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m.
And you're going to kick off in August?
August 4th we'll be kicking that
off. Okay, super. So. Well, that's great. And that's, again, over on King's Pantry. And
over at 30 Florence Street.
Okay. And then also, I want to talk a little bit about the Bridgeport Arts Festival.
Absolutely.
Which is under the auspices of the Bridgeport Arts and Cultural Council. And that's going to be on Saturday, July 21st, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And talk a little bit about that event. And also, just for the listeners, I want you to all know that WPKN is going to be doing some pro bono support of this event. Well, you're going to be hearing some on-air announcements certainly all next week, talking about the big Bridgeport Arts Festival.
Yeah, so the Bridgeport Arts Fest, it's returning for the first time since 2015. It's actually been in existence for about 9 years, and it's gonna, you know, we're gonna pick up where we left off at. We're featuring local artists, craftsmen, as well as other kind of creative creations and artwork as well for sale. We'll also have musical performances and activities throughout the course of the day too.
At McLeavy Green.
At McLeavy Green, yeah. Through the course of the day as well, cool. too. And then after that, we actually have really cool after party called Greenhouse, which is a house music after party dance party, which we're particularly excited about doing.
Yeah. I will be around for that one.
Fantastic.
So where is that going to take place?
That'll happen right on McLeavy Green, actually, too.
Yeah.
So.
And who's DJing that?
We've got a few DJs. Mike Aradia, DJ Danny Williams, DJ Juice Jones, Keith Jackson, goes by DJ Cool Keith, and a few other surprises. Dana Game. As well, and cool. We have a few other folks.
Well, that should be exciting. Now, I know that you're looking for artists. There's a call out.
Absolutely. So we still got space for artists if anybody's interested in vending.
Yeah, where would they find the vending form?
You can actually go to our website. It's bridgeportartscouncil.org.
Okay.
And just scroll down to the bottom. You'll see all the entry forms and the sign-up sheets and everything for that. You'll see access for the permits, and you can go from there, and there'll be a payment center as well.
Yeah. Well, there's just so many good things going on, once again, in our specific community of Bridgeport. And I wanted to thank Roz Branch for coming into the studios and keep up the amazing energy and kind of the great spectrum of all these wonderful events involving the cultural community and the artistic community of Bridgeport. So we're going to take a little break. Maybe I'll go out with a little Afro beat, and we'll be right back with the GM report to the listeners here on WPKN. Thanks again, Roz.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Okay, back we are on the GM report to the listeners. I'm Steve DeCostanzo, the general manager of this wonderful nonprofit community radio station, WPKN. We're at 89.5 FM and streaming all over the world at WPKN.org. We have podcasts, and We are operating 24 hours a day with real people, real radio. And once a month, I have a chance to talk about some of the activities here at WPK and also invite members of the community. And in this case, it's a little bit of both because WPKN is directly involved. And I wanted to welcome to the WPKN studio Suzanne Kaczmar from City Lights Gallery and Ricky Mestri. Together, we're going to talk. They're really going to discuss primarily the Bridgeport Pride Celebration 2018, the same-sex art party and variety show as well. And Suzanne, welcome again.
Hey, thank
nice
you.
To have
thank
you here.
Thank you.
It's coming up. It's next Thursday. So
yeah, the summer's flying by, and it's been great. You know, first of all, I got to thank Steve, and I got to thank WPKN for the very successful Make Music Day. So I feel like we're really building our partnership here, and I'm really grateful to you.
Yeah, that was a wonderful event, and it's nice to collaborate on projects, and this is another one of at least we're specifically on the. The variety show, but maybe we'll start with the Bridgeport Pride Celebration 2018. Right. I know that June was Pride Month nationally, and there were activities in many locations. I mean, I was down at in Norwalk at the Fairfield Pride, and how did how did you guys choose July?
Well, there, as you say, there was so much going on. And frankly, one of our partners and sponsors is the Triangle Community Center. Mm-hmm. And they're so busy with their thing in June. And then, of course, they want to go be part of other things and support. And we're talking about nationally, especially New York, New Haven, things like that. So we just felt, let's let everybody do their thing and not compete, and we'll pick another time nearby. For the last 2 or 3 years, I think, we've done it in July. We decided not to do June, right, Ricky?
Yeah, but we also tried to, coordinate it with the concerts that are going on downtown.
Right, that's true. That's true.
That way, when we have our Pride March walking around downtown, we have a huge crowd kind of already there for another purpose. So it's like multiple events happening at the same time.
Kind of instant critical mass.
Exactly.
And a lot of crossover fans and interest levels.
Right. Part of the whole purpose of this is to have a culture exchange and to have a platform where people of diverse backgrounds get together. And so we feel that this is a way, since people are already, congregating and enjoying music and socializing, that this was a way to add to that and, add to the whole that event.
Right. So
it's been very well received.
Yeah. So you have Downtown Thursdays at McLevy, but at the actual start of the Bridgeport Pride Celebration, you're going to have that up at
City Lights.
City Lights Gallery, which is at the top of the stairs, the colorful stairs.
Yeah,
and maybe walk through the evening. It gets underway with an exhibition opening, correct?
Yeah. So City Lights is proud to say that we did, pretty much from what I can tell and research, that we did the first gay pride, a gay art show in Connecticut. I know the Richfield Center for the Arts did one like a week or so after. It's opened after ours. And we started that 8 years ago. It was Ricky's idea. He came to us and said he wanted to do a show. And we thought about it and said, okay, well, how do we make this different? Be inclusive, but don't exclude anybody as well. And so we decided that it wouldn't just be people of the LGBTQ community, but it would also be any allies, any friends, any neighbors, any business people who were, we all live together, who have, have something supportive or insightful that they wanted to say about LGBTQ issues. And so now it's basically, the concept is whatever that zeitgeist is of the year, it kind of precipitates out at every show. And, this year, I would say it's empowerment when I look at the work. So it's kind of like an open bag, and we're always excited to see that.
And that exhibition is actually called Same Sex.
It's called Same Sex, that opens that night, and it'll run through most of August, about August 23rd.
And how many artists roughly are involved in that
exhibition?
I think you have about 20. We usually have about 20 every year.
can't remember. Yeah, so we're, in fact, I just got a poem today that somebody wants to recite too. So, you know, like I say, it's been very well received. The work is strong. We have artists who've showed year after year, Andrew Graham, Richie Taddy, Ricky Mestre.
Yeah.
So, and then there's always new work too.
And this is a ticketed event to start off with, the opening party. There's going to be music.
Right, DJ.
Cocktails, everything.
We'll have a tent on the patio.
It's a great location.
Yeah, it is. And we'll have our vintage shop, which we're stocking right now with lots of cool stuff, you know, too. So you can get a cocktail, you can listen to some music, you can look at some art, you can stroll over to the vintage shop and look at some really cool stuff.
Right, and that's 5:30 to 8.
5:30 to 8, yeah. And then we all get ready to step off at 8 p.m. and walk down on the sidewalk
the requirement?
Yeah, okay. It's a walk. We're not full-fledged parade
Will
yet,
it be enforced?
Yes, it will be.
Over what people do.
Yes, Your Honor, it will be.
It will be. You didn't hear that.
Yeah, but
on WPK.
Yes, but and then we go around McCleavy Green, and after that, we'll go over to the Bijou Theater for the variety show.
Yeah, and that's that. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And again, regardless of any your persuasion, it's just a community event.
It is,
and that's where I think the most important thing. Is that we just set aside any differences and say, let's just live life and enjoy each other's company. And the music is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's very colorful. And the fact that it's going to be at the, you know, coincide with the Downtown Thursdays should be wonderful. And then the, you know, I've called it a, well, it's billed as a variety show. And I've mentioned in the PSA that there's also a drag element to it, which I think is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a benefit for City Lights Gallery and for community radio station WPKN.
Yes.
So two nonprofits are participating. And Ricky, you're the producer, promoter of it. And you want to talk a little bit about kind of the different acts that are involved?
Sure, I would love to. Mm-hmm.
And this is also a ticketed event, and I think you can go through that.
We have something where if you're going to see the exhibit, it's one thing. If you're going to see the variety show, it's another. But, you know, we're trying to encourage people to, like, just get the full experience and go see the exhibit and participate in the walk and, you know, see what what's going on in the patio of the... And you know, everything.
Sure.
You know, it's really a nice thing if you can get the full package and see it all, and you know, be there to experience it. But I mean, the variety show. I mean, call it a variety show because essentially that's kind of what it is. You know, we do have a number of drag queens. You know, some of them lip sync, some of them do sing live. So that's kind of an interesting twist because a lot of them do lip sync. You know, they look great, but as soon as they open up their mouth, you know, it doesn't quite. You know, translate the same way, but there are a couple who have some very beautiful voices, and you know, we have one that does like a Barbara Streisand impersonation. She does drag, but she's also doing her own live singing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few other people that sing live. We have let's see,
it's a pretty full schedule that evening.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
the poster has about 25 people listed.
What about the dancer that
we have a number of dancers that are going to be involved?
But there was
a
last.
There was a last-minute addition. His name is Philip Galbert, and he entered this contest a few months ago, and he ended up being flown down to Los Angeles to be a backup dancer for Janet Jackson.
And he lives in Bridgeport. He just moved back to Bridgeport.
He's from Bridgeport. Yeah. He was living, you know, out of the city. I don't know which city he was living in at the time, but he ended up just moving back to Bridgeport, like, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
When I knew he was coming back to Bridgeport, I was like, well, I think we need to squeeze in one more person here because your story is just too exciting to, you know, not really...
Is there any kind of a RuPaul connection to any of the performers this year?
Well, there's a couple queens who have, like, you know, sent their audition reels for RuPaul's.
Yeah.
One of them, see, I feel like she's getting really close, and, you know, her name is Natasha Red Rose, and I think she's amazing. And she, you know, consistently every year submits, you know, this long, you know, video of all these very specific things that they ask for. It's really, you know, crazy what they want you to make your video submission to be like. And, all the different things that they ask of you. But consistently, she's been like, you know, submitting her reel and, you know, praying to God
getting closer.
Somehow she gets to be one of the 12 that they pick up.
I'm looking forward to it. We're trying to sell out the Bijou.
Yeah.
I think it would be a wonderful
it'd be great for the Bijou
thing to do.
Too.
It'd be great for the Bijou. It'd be great for City Lights Gallery, a nonprofit. It'd be great for WPK. And it's something out of the
great
box.
Great for Bridgeport.
Great for Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's if it's your first time, that would be awesome.
What a perfect way to do
and,
it.
And there's going to be a lot of people that. I think have been to previous same-sex events that have been held at different places, downtown Cabaret Theater.
Right.
But this is at the Bijou Theater. It's
right.
a wonderful place. Really, just it's going to be a great venue to hold this.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's ticketed. The variety show itself is an admission of $25.
Right.
But otherwise, you can wrap it all up, I think, for $30. And the tickets tickets are really encouraged,
yes,
I think.
Yes,
and
yes.
So what's the best place to get those tickets?
If you go to citylightsgallery.org, if you go on there, you'll see the information on the homepage, and it'll lead you to the PayPal, so you can get a ticket that way. And we will also do admission at the door. If you come to City Lights to the exhibit, you can buy the full package upon entry. So that's another way to do it. And, you know, we just want to have a good time. And we're very grateful to Gary Peterson, who is from the Bijou, who's also hosting this event with us. So thank you so much.
That's great. And just a quick shout out about WPKN's LGBTQ community radio show. It's held the fourth Wednesday of every month, hosted by Andy and Bonna. So that's something that you can also tune into. We're very proud to have that show here at PKN.
I also just want to thank one of our board members, John Branley and David Vanko, who are also a sponsor of this event. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Good. Well, thanks for coming in. We'll see everyone next Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Bridgeport Pride Celebration 2018 gets underway at City Lights Gallery and then ends up at the Bijou.
Yep, thank
thanks
you.
For coming in, Ricky.
Bye.
And Suzanne. Okay, and back we are on the GM Report to the listeners here on your favorite community nonprofit radio station, WPKN 89.5 FM. And I'm joined in the studio by Frank Boris, who is the board chair of a really fine nonprofit that I first heard about when I was at the Bridgeport Chamber of Commerce meeting. We actually did a small presentation on behalf of WPKN there, and ends up that Frank is not only the board chair of the nonprofit that we're about to talk to, but he's also the president of the Bridgeport Chamber of Commerce, so that's pretty cool. And we also have Alberto, who I heard speak at that event, and eloquently, and it was really a moving testimony about your involvement with the Bridgeport Carib Youth Leaders Organization. And welcome to PKN. I don't know where we want to start, but how about a little bit of the history and the mission of the Bridgeport Carib Youth Leaders?
Well, Bridgeport in general has a big Puerto Rican baseball, softball history. Goes back to, you know, the great migration of the 40s and 50s, and they came here and they played softball. My father was one of them, and they had baseball teams, and I played Little League for St. Mary's. And so we've always had a Puerto Rican presence at Seaside Park and different ball fields. And there was a Christian Brotherhood League, which our president was with. And then there was this big, giant gap of nothing. And Johnny Torres and his brother Sam Torres realized that there was something missing for the kids. And in honor of their father, who had passed away and who had helped them in the past with playing baseball as a kid, they started this league called Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leaders. It was called Bridgeport Caribe Youth League at the time, and the idea was to just to get kids off the street and play baseball. Then it evolved. Then it became basketball. Then it became softball. Then it became fall ball and clinics. And then it became cheerleading and education and then civics. And now we realize that sports all along was only the magnet.
Yeah, it's kind of the
gateway. Bring the kids in. Mm-hmm. And then once they get in, our hope is that they become the future of the city through learning about civics, giving back, and education, and higher education and college. And these are young people who need our help, right. And we're more than happy. They're fun to be with. As a matter of fact, one of our teams is in Maine today, or will be in Maine soon, because they just won the statewide league.
Wow, yeah, our 12-year-old travel team is up in Maine now.
Yeah.
They're competing for the, hopefully, to, you know, reach Alabama for the Little League World Series.
Oh, that's exciting. So. Now, the age range for this league is from what age to what age?
And Alberto here is one of our alumni, by the way.
Yeah, and Alberto, I mean, I mean, the story is very compelling. We don't have time to tell the whole story, but, you know, you spent about 20, 25 minutes really giving a very thorough background on your involvement with this nonprofit and what it's meant to your life. And it was obvious that it was incredibly enriching to be part of this group.
It's been a life-changing organization in my life. To answer your question, you know, we have age groups from 5 up to 21 plus, you know, like myself, who's still in the program, you know, helping out. Me personally, I started when I was 12 years old. So, you know, it's great. And it's fundamental. It reaches you at a fundamental age,
right,
which is awesome. And it's great to see.
And do you also then, I know that there's a big part about giving back to the community. And is there a lot of mentoring aspects? Like, in other words, because you're a youth leader.
So obviously, I went from not only being an athlete in the organization, but now I coach and, you know, mentor kids that when I was their age, others did for me. So it's a cycle. It's an unending mm-hmm. cycle.
And through UB, he's one of our scholarship recipients. He's graduated.
Graduated, this past fall.
Good for you. And did you play baseball then here?
No, I did not. I actually played lacrosse here at the University of Bridgeport. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little different, you know. Changed a couple of sports, but it was great. It was great to play some college ball.
Now,
essentially,
this power reading program that I've seen, is that something that you get involved with? Was that something that was a big part of the program?
For me, the SAT program and all the prep programs were influential mm-hmm. into my success. Obtaining, you know, not only my scholarship into the University of Bridgeport, but just getting accepted at all. And it just helped a lot, just prepare me. And I'm thankful, very mm-hmm. thankful. And it just kept on giving, and it keeps on giving to the community, which is awesome.
Great. And Frank, in terms of funding, what do you have a lot of, besides the fees for participating in the baseball program, are you able to access and put together a gala of some sort, or do you do other events to raise money?
We do many different things to raise money because our participants, though, that is our families, only pay a small percentage of what it actually costs. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a great deal, those who sign up for our league, because of our generous sponsors. And they include hedge funds like Hedge Eye and in Down County and locals like PSEG and Steel Point. A lot of different organizations give to us.
Oh, that's great. Well, I wish we had more time, but it's a short segment. I've got one more guest to get on, and we had to actually change one of the other guests to a jazz program. Unfortunately, Ron Stein was going to be with us with an event that comes up in a couple of weeks, actually. It's the next Saturday, July 21st, the Coltrane Day 2018. But I think that Lisa Sahulka is going to try to have him on her show on Tuesday, and we'll have some VIP tickets to that event as well. That's going to be at Heckscher Park in Huntington, New York. So he'll be able to have a little bit more time on Lisa's show. But I wanted to thank Frank Boris, the board chair, and Alberto, one of the youth leaders of the Bridgeport Caribe Youth Leaders Organization. Really fine nonprofit. And thanks for coming into the studios. Welcome back to UB after graduating.
You're welcome. Thank you. And BCYL.org. That's BCYL.org.
Great. If you want to get some information and perhaps if you want to help with some sponsorship, I'm sure there's a lot of different levels and ways that you can get involved with another fine nonprofit. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask Bob Halstead to come in, and we're going to talk about thank you guys for coming in.
Take care now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There is an issue that seems to be developing around a particular building, the West End Branch Library, which is in Bridgeport, built in 1922, and it's at the intersection of Fairfield Avenue and State Street. And Bob Halstead has been a community activist for a long time, and he's a good friend of WPKN Radio. He's been involved with a lot of different things, not only the City Council of Bridgeport, but also some of the community gardens as well. So anyway, he has been alerting a lot of folks to the fact that this particular West End Branch Library, again at the intersection of Fairfield Avenue and State Street, is slated for a demolition.
It is.
So I just wanted to invite Bob to come in, and we'll finish up our GM report with just an update. So talk a little bit about this building, Bob, and anything else that I know you've been trying to talk with some community leaders, and give us an update.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me on. I'm finding a lot of interest in the community for saving this building. And it's very understandable that you refer to it as the library branch. It used to be, up until about 1994, when it was sold by the city for a dollar to Lafayette Bank, and then 10 years later to a group called Nuestra Casa, and then 8 years after that to a Hispanic youth development organization called Espera. And then they dissolved and passed it over to a nonprofit, who ultimately couldn't pay the rent. The thing has sat vacant. The issue here is this is a very valuable piece of architecture. It's designed by Russian Jewish architect Leonard Eschheim, 1921. He also designed the Klein Memorial Auditorium in Bridgeport.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
He modeled this loosely after the architecture of Monticello, the difference being Monticello had a dome, and this has a cupola.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been referred to by notables such as Charles Brovich, the former historian, as one of the, when it was built, one of the nicest buildings in the country. It's a real treasure for Bridgeport. It sits at the confluence of Fairfield Avenue and State Street, and it's the entrance to the downtown from Black Rock.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a sign there. When I went by it, it says announces the West End, West Side, I guess, of Bridgeport. And it's a very handsome, like triangular piece of property, and it looks like it's almost like a park-like setting, right? And then now there's a chain link fence around it, and there's some sort of a demolition type of vehicle. What do you think the prospects are? I mean, what is this? Is it a realistic battle? And what are you trying to do to galvanize some support? I mean, we're happy to give you some time here on PKN, so that's a help. But
I know that you're interested in, you see the value of this and many other people also. I don't want to live in a city where they tear a building like this down without a whimper. The councilmen, the state reps, the city council, the city administration, all the Connecticut historic preservation groups all have to join forces here. We can't let this happen. It's a matter of it's privately owned. It's in a light industrial zone.
Yeah.
You know, around there used to be a bead chain, which is now the Park City Prep. Another factory, which is now the Nest Arts factory. And across the streets, a vacant lot that used to be Bryant and Hubble.
Mm.
It was a very industrial area. So you have a lot of vacant lots. You do have that beautiful park there. So it's privately owned. And
it's not landmarked either, I guess, from what I understand.
It's not landmarked. No. But when you really can't I've been told by an expert that you can exert a 90-day demolition ordinance when you have it designated as a landmark or when you're in the process of applying for designation. You have to have the owner's permission to apply for National Register. You have, but you don't have to have that for state, and you can apply. However, right now there's no time for that. It's a historic landmark.
Yeah. Have you put together, or are you going to put together some sort of a Facebook page, or I'm just curious, how would people get more information on this this topic?
Well, they can...
just reach out?
Reach out to my cell.
Okay.
Cell number is 203-362-7757.
Okay. We're going to be talking with Bob Halstead, and you'll see some of the postings on Facebook page on WPKN Radio and also some other sites that have picked up some of the images, the external shots, photographs, and some of the internal pictures, which the interior is looks you know, quite beautiful.
We're going to be touring it at the Bridgeport Art Fest. We're going to do a bike ride from McLevy Green touring sites. We're going to stop there. By the way, it's privately owned. You can't do a whole lot about it. Historic designation doesn't prevent the guy from doing whatever he wants. He has not pulled a demolition permit yet. He has a buyer, supposedly, who condition of sale is he wants the seller to knock it down before it gets sold. Now, it's private property, and we have to come up with something that interests him. We have to come up with some kind of financial incentives and do some exploration. Maybe tax breaks. $30,000 a year he's paying for an empty building. Maybe we can get the city council and the mayor to give him a 2-year break on that so we can look at other alternatives.
Right. Well, thanks for coming on, Bob. We're kind of out of time now, so we're going to have to cut away. Robin Bateau is coming up at the top of the hour, and he's itching to get into some great music. And it was also nice to hear Alec coming this morning with a fill-in. I want to thank all my guests that were here today. Karen Leto, Reverend Sarah Smith. We also had Roz Branch, Suzanne Catchmore, Ricky Mestre, Frank Boris, and Alberto, and Bob Halstead. This is the GM Report to the listeners. I'll put it up as a podcast, and you'll be able to download that if you've missed this. You can find that right via our website. Have a wonderful week, and we will catch you again next month for the GM Report to the listeners. We're going to have some announcements, and then Robin will be up shortly.
Support for WPKN comes from Premier Concerts, DSP Shows, and Manic Presents, bringing Old Crow Medicine Show to College Street Music Hall in New Haven on Tuesday, July 17th. Tickets available at collegestreetmusichall.com.
Hi, this is Casey Ryan. I've been a WPKN listener, volunteer, and sometimes even a programmer for almost 30 years. Yeah, I really do love this quirky little radio station, which is why for several years now I've also been a sustaining supporter. Each month I automatically contribute an amount I chose, an amount I hardly miss, but that really helps when it comes to paying WPKN's bills. Every time I listen to WPKN and I hear that reminder about it being listener supported, I think, hey, I'm one of those listeners who are supporting it. Yay me. Now I'm asking you to consider joining me. Just go to our website, WPKN.org, and tap the donate button. It's a simple process to become a monthly sustaining WPKN supporter. And trust me, it feels so good to be one.
Sunflower mazes to tubing in Connecticut rivers, learn how to have fun in the sun and learn some tips for greening your vacations. Tune in Saturday, July 14th at 9 a.m. for Living the Green Life.
Hear from Randy Fiveash, Director of the Connecticut Office of Tourism, to learn what you can do in Connecticut over the summer and year-round. And for future shows, listen every second Saturday at 9 a.m. for Living the Green Life.
On Thursday, July 19th, the Bridgeport Pride Celebration kicks off with the same-sex exhibition and ticketed reception that includes refreshments and a DJ from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And then the party continues with a free Pride Walk from the colorful Broad Street steps to a loop around McLevy Green. But the night is still not over. At 8:30 p.m., doors open at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport for a one-of-a-kind dragon variety show. Tickets for both the same-sex reception and or the same-sex variety show at the Bijou are strongly encouraged via citylightsgallery.org. Proceeds from the variety show will benefit two nonprofits, the WPKN Community Radio and City Lights Gallery.
Are financial challenges putting you at risk of losing your home? There are services available for households in jeopardy of foreclosure. The Mortgage Crisis Job Training Program can help you improve your earnings with no-cost job training and career services. Borrowers can find customized employment services, job training scholarships, job placement assistance, and personal finance counseling. Information is available online at www.workplace.org or toll-free at 1-866-683-3555.